Hell of the Change. Crank her up a little bit.
Myself a t-shirt that says what I believe. I got letters on my bracelet to serve as my ID. I got the necklace and the keychain and almost everything a good Christian needs. Yeah. I got the little Bible magnets on my refrigerator. And a welcome back to bless you before you walk across my floor.
But the words, what about the grace? What about the forgiveness? Amen? So many times. You know, here's what the Lord was saying to me, and I just want you to get a hold of something before I get into the message today. So many people have sickness and disease in their life because they do not forgive. They allow unforgiveness to get a root of bitterness inside of them. It becomes a canker. It becomes a sore. It becomes a growth within them. And it always reveals itself and comes out. Amen? Because once you have forgiven, there's somebody saying, man, I can forgive you, but I can't forget. Well, if you can't forget, leave it under the blood of Jesus, you've never truly forgiven. Hello? Hello? In other words, if your past keeps on coming back to haunt you, maybe you need to release someone. Maybe you need to release someone of their offense. Because the only one that's being held prisoner most of the time is you. And let me tell you something, the adversary, he knows because you've spoken it. Not because he can look inside of you, but he hears what you say. And when he hears what you say, then he'll feed that. He'll always put it in front of you some way or somehow because he knows just what gets to you. He knows just what bothers you the most because you've spoken it with your mouth. Amen. And that's where he's coming. So today, if you open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. Colossians 3, anybody need a Bible? Slip up your hand. I think everybody's good. Colossians 3, verse number 12. The Word of God says, put on therefore. That means I got to do something. I got to put something on. Amen? This is something I should have to do daily, just as I get out of the bed in the morning. I put my socks and my shorts and my t-shirt on. I put something on. Amen? He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. He's talking to the church. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in hymns, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I can have my PowerPoint. And wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he have done. And there is no respect of persons. And then verse 1 of chapter 4 says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Now, when he was talking to us, he's saying that we're to have mutual love for one another. We're to forbear one another. We're to forgive one another. And this is an all-inclusive statement. He says, wives, husbands, children. He speaks about employers, employees. He gives it to everyone. So there's no one left out here. No matter how spiritually old you are or young you are, no matter how tall you are or short you are, it does not matter. It's an all-inclusive statement to everyone. To everyone. As a child of God, if I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm not walking in the flesh, amen, I'm serving the Lord with fullness of heart, I'm putting on something. In other words, when he talked about bowels of mercies, it's from the inside. It's from the inner core. Amen. We sang a song from the inside out. God is always working in our hearts and lives from the inside out. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. And if I have anger and unforgiveness in my heart, what's going to come out of my mouth is anger and unforgiveness. Those are the words, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. So when we're talking about this, the Lord is saying, hey, we got to not be conformed to this world, but we have to allow God to transform us by the renewing of our minds, so that we prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You know, I want to focus your attention today for this morning's message to verse number 25. that said, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he have done. And there is no respect of persons. That I titled this for a reason. It said, to worship you I live. And the Lord was speaking to me, worship isn't about coming here and singing a song. Worship's about a heart. He says so many times we give him lip service, but not heart service. Amen. Sometimes when I come to worship, if I'm carrying unforgiveness in my heart, you know, my worship isn't even accepted to me because he says I'm not real. Amen. He says, you know, hey, let's be real. You know, if we have things in our heart, we got to allow God to minister to us. We, you know, sometimes there's an old saying, well, fake it till you make it. Well, that's a lie. You don't have to fake it. Be real, because that's the true deal. And when we're going through some things, it's best to get the stuff out and get it on the altar of Christ than to sit there and carry about it and pretend that it's not a problem, you know? In other words, sometimes we just need to go to the Lord and say, hey, man, I need your help. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I just can't get over this thing. I need your help, Lord. Amen? And all of a sudden, if we would look through individuals through Christ's eyes and not through our own eyes, we have to see that God looks at them. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And if we have forbearance with one another, we'll look with a different attitude when we look at brothers and sisters. We'll look in a different way when it seems like they didn't do what I thought they should do, or they did something, or they said something that hurt me. You know, we have to be sort of like Jesus sometimes. Say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Lord, forgive, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So today, there's three things I want to speak to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the offender, the offense, and the offering. The offender, the offense, and the offering. And we'll just ask the Lord to transform our lives and maybe bring healing to somebody's heart and life that is carrying something they should not be carrying. Can we lift the word together and make a declaration in the house today? Can you say it with me? I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am. What God's word says I am. I can have what God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant, for I am listening. My ears are open, and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word, and we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do today in our hearts and lives. Father, we thank you that your word will never return unto you void. So, Father, we praise you that our faith cometh by hearing and hearing by your word. And we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word to heal our diseases. So, Lord, we praise you and we give you glory. Now, Lord, I just pray that you speak through me today, Father God. Speak to this congregation, Father God. May the words that come forth edify them, exhort them, and encourage them, and comfort them by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. But he that doeth wrong, you know, when I looked at that word wrong, it comes from the Greek word adikeo. It's spelled A-D-I-K-E-O. And that word means to be an offender physically, socially, or morally. Physically, socially, or morally. So when we're looking at who is he speaking to, he's speaking to everyone. He's talking to the church. He's talking to fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and children. You know, he's speaking to every last one of us in the room. He's saying, as the elect of God, that he has chosen you and ordained you as a child of God. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Amen? And as a new creation in Christ Jesus, we react a different way than we did in the natural. In other words, in the natural, it was do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We would do back. We would fight back. But the Bible, and as a new child, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, it says, bless them that persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, for great is your reward. Amen. So when somebody curses, that we bless back. Listen to me. Math. 1 + 1 = 2, right? Wrong plus wrong will never equal right. Wrong plus wrong will never equal right. In other words, when somebody wrongs you, if you wrong back, you're not going to accomplish anything. There's nothing that's going to be accomplished by that. That's why Jesus said, if we bless them that do you wrong. If somebody does you wrong, bless them. Man, that messes them all up. Amen? That messes it up. That's what messes the devil up. Because the devil expects us always to react in our flesh, man. But he said, the Lord said, there is no condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation of the Christ that walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. We're spirit beings now. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They're their foolishness to them because they're spiritually discerned. And as a child of God, God has given you and I the Spirit of God that helps us to walk past things when they come our way. You know, and the writer of James says in James 4:17, he says, the word of God says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, as children of God, what are we talking about in this subject? We're talking about having love, forbearance, and forgiveness for others. That's the subject that we're speaking of. And as men and women of God, we know what we're supposed to do. And if we know what we're supposed to do and we don't do it, to us it is what? It is sin. Amen? You know, and listen to me. It isn't my good deeds that saved me. For by grace I was saved by faith, that not of myself. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the word of God says in James, but faith without works is dead being alone. In other words, there's got to be an outward expression of what's taking place inside of our heart and lives. You know, if I've been transformed, there should be some fruit of the Spirit that's being made evident to outside. And you know how it's made evident is when the storm comes your way. It's how you react in the time of tribulation and trial. That's when the love should shine, the peace, the joy, the long-suffering, the kindness, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance, and the faith. In other words, when that thing comes, I should be walking in the Spirit according to God's Word. If faith cometh by hearing and hearing by God's Word, no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, the life I now live, I live according to what? Amen. In other words, we had the little bracelets that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus react when your brother or your sister offends you? How would he react in that situation? What would he do? He says to you and I, love will cover a multitude of sins. In other words, when I respond in love, amen, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. So when I'm reacting in love, I'm bringing life even to a dead situation. Now the problem we have as men of God that we do live in the flesh, and we do battle with the flesh. It's a constant battle. And let me say something to you. No one's arrived yet. But you know, I'm not perfect by any means. I just serve a perfect Lord. He gave us his perfect word. He made a perfect way for you and I. Amen. And all longer, the more we get into according to his way and his truth and his life, the more successful we'll be in our life. Amen. Amen. Because let me say something to you. you know, if you're seeking and you're looking for God to bless you, you walk according to his word. And as you're walking according to his will and according to his word, you can't stop the blessing up. You can't stop the blessing from coming. But if you're not walking according to his will and his purpose, your funnel's turned upside down. And God can't pour in it. He might trickle a little bit just to keep you going. But once you get into his will, he can open it wide open. You know, when we understand that, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9, he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Amen? You know, you may not see, others may not see, but there's nothing hid from God. Amen? You know where God really pays attention? To the secret places. Amen? You know, when I was looking at that, I want you to understand something. The way that we respond in the midst of offense has an effect on everyone around you. Man, you can really tell when somebody's upset. They come in the room, they might put a smile on their face, but there's anger in their eyes. It's almost sometimes the eyes are a portal to the inside. Amen. All of a sudden those pupils are a little dilated, a little different. Amen. And you see that. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Verse number 6. He said, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Amen. In other words, God says to you and I, we're not to be an offense or a stumbling block to anyone else. You know, we're not to put a stumbling block in our brother's and our sister's way. Amen. So, he said in our text today, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong he have done, for the offenses." And Jesus said, the offenses are going to come. You know, you're going to be offended. Everybody's going to be offended some way or somehow. Somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to do something. And you're going to get offended. Let me take that back. People are going to say things and do things to try to offend you. But if you're dead, you shouldn't receive offense. Because if I'm dead to the flesh and I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, if I died, whatever you say to me, okay. Whatever you do to me, okay. I serve a righteous judge. I will stand and give an account for what I have to stand and give an account for, and you will stand and give an account for what you have to stand and account for. Each and every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account. My grace doesn't cover my account of what I did when I did not give forgiveness or receive forgiveness for. You know, when my sins were removed, they were removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Amen. But if I have aught and unforgiveness for my brother or my sister, and I'm caught up in offense, the Bible says if I did not forgive them, he did not forgive me. And if I did not forgive them, I'm going to have to answer for it at the day of judgment because it's still on my account. You know, it ain't going to just mysteriously disappear. In other words, God is saying to each and every one of us that hey, we've got a guideline. We got a guideline. You know, I think some people in here are familiar with the judicial system. And when you break the law, there's guidelines of sentences. And there's guidelines in the Word of God. You know, as children of God, we were found guilty. We were made innocent in Christ Jesus. And now we're in probation. Right? We have a rule book. All right, it's true. And we have a rule book. And we break the rules. We have to be accountable for breaking the rules. And some of you in here that have gone back and been reincarcerated because you broke the rules of probation, you know what I'm speaking about. You know, so the Word of God says in Romans 16, verse number 17, the Word of God says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you be you wise unto which is good and simple concerning evil." Amen. In other words, we're on to the adversary's game. We know his tricks. We know his ploys. Matter of fact, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Amen. So in other words, it's always not about us. If we get out of the mentality, it's not about us, it's about him. And if you offend me, you offend him, not me. So I need to learn not to take it personally. Because if I'm walking according to the God's word and we have a disagreement and we don't agree with one another, I've got to release you to him. I've got to forgive you in my heart. You know, when they asked Jesus, they said, "Well, how many times shall I forgive? 70? He said, "No, 7 times 70. In other words, that means endless forgiving. 7's the perfect number being perfected by 70. It means it's perfect forgiveness. In other words, we forgive all the time. Amen? We forgive all the time. We're not going to hold it against others. If we recognize this, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We recognize as spiritual new creations in Christ Jesus, we're not battling with the flesh. We've got an adversary. And let me tell you something. The adversary came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and tempted her. I don't know about you, but I don't know many snakes that speak. Hello? In other words, the devil spoke through the serpent. And sometimes the devil will speak to people just to get on your nerves. They just want to upset your cart. They just want to rock your world. And if they start rocking your world, all of a sudden they got you in that irritated state. All of a sudden, then the devil sees that irritation. And all of a sudden, it's just like Paul said, man, "I prayed the Lord thrice, 3 times. He didn't deliver me. I had a thorn in my flesh where the suffering Satan came and kept buffeting me. He kept poking me in that same place." Sometimes you got to have somebody around you, or that somebody's around you that seems to always poke you the wrong way, seems to press on you the wrong way. God says, forgive them and love them and show the love of God to them. Amen? Amen. We're not becoming like others. We're not rendering the same thing. We're blessing those. Amen? We walk in blessing. Right? The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it eat the fruit thereof. We have the power of to bless. Amen? And you know what? And when we pray for them, pray blessings on them. Don't pray for God to get them, to tear them up or tear them down or whatever. You know, even when you pray, Lord, bless them. Bless them, Lord. You know, you want to pray, Lord, choke them. But no, you just say, Lord, just bless them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. You know, when Paul was speaking about that, he went to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He's talking to people in the ministry now. We're all, how many are called in the ministry here in the house? Everyone. Whether you put your hand up or not, doesn't matter. Whether you're running or rocking, doesn't matter. You're still called. Amen? You're a called man and woman of God. Amen? You know something? Let me say something to you, just plain and simple. If you weren't called, you wouldn't be in the house of God today. No matter what you did last week, last year, last month, doesn't matter. God's got you. God's got a plan in your life. God wants to come back in a fresh and a brand new way. God wants to take you to heights and places you've never been before. He just says, come on. Come on. Follow me. Follow me. Man, I always love that. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. You know, I don't eat fish. So praise God, I catch men and God cleans them up and I don't have to eat them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're just following Jesus. You know, we're following Jesus. I think it was sort of like with Enoch. You know, Enoch was walking with God. He's walking with God. And he got closer to God and closer to God. He's walking with God. And one day he just walked and he just became. Enoch walked with God and he was not. In other words, that image of love permeated over Enoch. Love does not render evil for evil. Amen? Amen. Love acts in a different way. You know, and we talk about love, and you say, well, you know, sometimes there's a thought that, hey, this person's a hypocrite, or that person's a hypocrite, or that person's a hypocrite. You know what the Lord says to me? He says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. He didn't call me to look inside your soul. He's the searcher of hearts and he's the searcher of souls. He didn't call me to do that. You know what he called me to do? To share the love of God and his word with a lost and dying world. Amen. That's all we're supposed to do. We're to encourage one another. We're to build one another up. We're to comfort one another. We're to be a blessing to one another. Amen. We're to walk in that love. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 3, Paul's speaking to the ministry. He says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things. How many things? In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, and watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. He says in there, hey, in all these things, when we go through the storms and trials, it's how we react. It's how we react. Jesus, God's word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. not out of some, but he delivers you out of them all. So if God's going to deliver me out of every affliction, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to keep my eye on the Lord. He is the author. He is the finisher. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the first. He is the last. And he's everything in between. He's the one that's begun a good work in you, and he is the one that'll see it through. He will complete what he's begun. What you and I have to do is just stand on his word and believe him at it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to walk around with that spirit of being beaten and struck down and destroyed. Amen. Even when we go through some things. You know, he says, hey, there's the offender. We release him to the Lord. The offense, we're not going to take it. We can't take it personally. Amen? In other words, you know, when somebody offends you, the Bible says this. If you have aught with your brother or your sister, God gives you the word. He says, what you want to do? He says, if you have a disagreement with your brother, you go to him personally. And you speak to them. And then, if they do not receive you, you go and get a witness. And you come back again. And then if they don't receive you, you bring them before the church. You don't want to get before the church in that situation. Amen? And in other words, God says, hey, man, we need to, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. In other words, you're going to get angry. But sin not. You know, if you get disappointed, you get angry, take a step back for a moment. Reflect a moment before you open your mouth. Because when you speak in anger, what comes out? Words that shouldn't come out. You say things. What do you say when you're angry? You say things to hurt someone. You say things to tear them down. And boy, we know how to pack them in when we're angry, don't we? We know how to whip them around. But the word of God says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, or let not the sun go down on your anger, because if you carry that anger to bed with you, oh gosh, when you wake up in the morning, not only a headache, but you probably give someone else a headache too. Because you'll wake up with attitude. Amen? Mm-mm-mm. So we find that the offender, the offense, and the offering. What I was speaking about the offering is when I'm coming to bring an offering to the Lord, I'm bringing an offering to the Lord. He's not looking at my hands. He's not looking at what's in my pocket. He's looking about what's in my heart. Amen? He ain't looking at what I'm saying. God's looking at our hearts, guys. You know, the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 23. Jesus is speaking at the Sermon on the Mount here. He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. In other words, when you come to the altar, he said, leave your gift, go get reconciled with your brother. If you need to forgive somebody, forgive them. If you need to ask forgiveness from somebody, ask forgiveness from them. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, he said, for you that are spiritual. In other words, somebody's going to act like an adult. Amen. Rather you're the wrong or the one that was wrong or the one that was right. If you're living and hurt and pain, don't give the devil room. He's tormenting you. God says, hey, leave your gift at the altar. Go make it right. Man. It seems like that words, hey, would you forgive me, seems to be hard words to come out of somebody's mouth. You know why? Pride. 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 Oh, I wasn't wrong. They were wrong. Pride. It's all about pride. It's pride. You know, pride is what brings us to destruction. You know, the Bible says, God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. In other words, we got to humble ourselves, you know, and ask forgiveness or forgive, you know, because it's sort of like, hey, man, it's like God's right there. His hands are right there to bless you, and you've got him tied. You've got him tied. He said, well, I don't understand why. He says, forgive, and thou shalt be forgiven. Jesus, when he taught us how to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Because not, if we don't, it will lead us into temptation. You know, it'll lead us into that place we don't want to be. So when we bring our offering to the Lord, all the Lord is saying to us is about, and God's not looking at anybody, God's looking at everybody. Amen. If you need to forgive, just forgive. Don't allow that thing to hold you back. Amen. Don't allow it to have a grip on you. Because that's just what the adversary wants to do. He just wants to torment us. And not only for the sake of forgiving, but the word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Amen. In other words, in this fear is reverence. You know, I'm reverencing God. You know, the Lord was saying something this morning. We had this morning he was talking about submission always precedes promotion. And when Jesus said, and God's word said Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, you know, God was saying something is when we will not submit to one another, we won't submit to him either. Hello? Hello? You know, in other words, when we submit to one another, we submit in the fear of the Lord. We're recognizing that, hey, you know, I don't want to be a stumbling block in my brother, and I don't want to let my brother be a stumbling block for me. So, if possible, the Bible says to live at peace with all men. Amen? You know, the Word of God says in Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse number 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Amen. 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 That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Now, when I looked at that, somebody says, well, man, I'm keeping my body clean. Well, he's not speaking there of your body. If you study that out, he says, everyone will give an account for the things they've done on earth. While you're in this body of ground, while you're in the earth, rather it's good or bad. In other words, I'm going to receive rewards for the good, and I'm going to get correction for the bad. Because the purpose is, you know, the Bible says that we're to be good stewards of what he's entrusted us with. Amen? Amen? So when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I don't give an account. You know, because there's some things I knew to do better and I didn't. And some of them I just did it because I had a rebellious spirit. Right? Because I know a lot of times when I do wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts me immediately. And I just go, you know, I don't want to listen to that. I guess that's only me. Amen? You know, but the Lord wants you to understand something with me. If we believe we're in the last days, and we believe the trumpet could sound at any time, today is the day to get things right. Jesus said at the end of the book in Revelations 22:12, he said, "And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is to give every man as it shall be." Amen. And in other words, we never know. We say, well, Pastor, I'm going to get that right next week, next month. I'm going to do that another time. God's saying, no. Today. Today. Well, it's still called today. You know, in other words, we do not want the adversary to hold us any longer. Amen. Because let me say something. When you forgive and you release, all of a sudden, the mercies of the Lord will become to you new every morning. All of a sudden, you'll walk in the newness of life. Amen. Amen. God doesn't want you looking back. He doesn't want you visiting and hanging out there. Today is the day the Lord has made. Amen. In other words, there is nothing you can do to change the past. But what you can do is you can learn from it and let it go. 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 Don't allow the adversary to keep holding you in that same prison. Amen. Because once in prison doors break open, amen, you'll see everything in a new light. You'll see it with a different eye and a different heart. Praise God. So in closing today, that's what God is simply saying to you. He says if you do wrong, you're going to receive the wrong that you do. And there's no respecter of person. You know, when I was looking at that, I was reminded of a former president of the United States of America. He was a good man. He did many good things for this nation. His name was Richard Nixon. But he got involved in something that was wrong. He got involved in something Watergate. And see, there was a penalty for that. He was impeached as our president. And God was saying, no matter how spirit you are or how unspirit you are, no matter how long you've been serving the Lord, you can be serving the Lord for 50 years, 60 years, 75 years, and if you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, it's just like you're a little baby. God says it's time for the church to grow up. When I was a child, I did childish things. But when I became a man, I put away some childish things. And what God is saying to you and I, hey, we've got to stop acting like little babies and little children and start walking in the fullness of God. Amen? Amen. As long as I keep going back to that same place, the devil will always keep me hostage there. You may have been offended, and the offense may have been big, but God says you're to offer up an offering. You're to offer up an offering of love, an offering of forbearance, and an offering of forgiveness that'll blow their socks off. Not you're sitting there waiting for somebody to come to you that's hurt you. God says, release them. Forgive them. Let them go. They're keeping you in bondage. I paid for your freedom on the cross of Calvary. Step into the freedom that I purchased for you. God doesn't want us to be held in the past. He's got too much for us for today. This day, not tomorrow, not next week, but this day. This is the day that the Lord wants you to live in fullness. So today, Father God, I pray, Father God, that we release today. Lord, I pray today that there be a heart of forgiveness, that we would learn, Lord, to forbear one another, to love one another, and to forgive one another. If you're here today and first off, maybe you've drifted away, you're not at that place you once were with the Lord, and the Lord is speaking to your heart today. He wants you to know that He loves you. His plans has not changed for you. The call on your life will not change. He's a perfect gentleman. He gently just knocks on your heart and says, will you please open the heart's door so that I can come in afresh and anew? And if that is you, would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus afresh and anew today. Is that you? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there anyone else here today? Can we all stand together? Can we pray corporately together? I want you to understand that you never lost your salvation. There is just something that came and blocked the path. And the Holy Spirit today, through the Word of God, is clearing the path. He's going to take away that obstruction. And He is saying today, as He removes that obstruction that's in front of you, the only way that it'll come back before you is if you allow it to and you place it there. So can we say a prayer first as a congregation? We want to pray a prayer of assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, the heir of salvation. Hallelujah. So can we pray, say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, shedding your blood, paying the penalty for my sins, purchasing me eternal life. Lord, forgive me all my sins. With your help, Lord, I'm moving forward. I'm walking on that path, your path, Lord, because you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And I will come to the Father through you. Now, Lord, I thank you for saving my soul and making me whole.